Let's dig into feedback. Let's talk about giving and receiving effective and meaningful feedback, because I think it's a huge topic. It's one of those critical leadership and life skills.
This is Leaderful, where we give you the models and the frameworks, the strategies and the skills that you need to drive true transformation for yourself, your team, your organization, and the world. Welcome to the show.
I mean, we just recently did a culture survey on, we call it conscious communication and effective communication. And an interesting pattern emerged from the data. It was everybody talks about conscious communication, effective communication. They bring in the models and the frameworks and the tools, but rarely does it ever get implemented, operationalized, and actually, you know, I think the responders in the survey used the word like no one's participating in it. And so when I think I think that's what we thought of, like, there's a huge opportunity here. There's some great models, some great frameworks, but for some reason, which we got curious about, it's not sticking. It's not actually being implemented.
And what are some of those barriers from your perspective or that you've encountered to like translating it from theory? Because I run into that too. And then, you know, that's great in theory. It's great. It's easy to, I can practice it in the session, and then implementation or execution, there's this barrier there that often people run into, and it's just like a wall they hit, and then it's like, ooh, like it's still scary, or it's still, you know, it's uncomfortable to give feedback. So how do we help people, or how do people kind of shift gears into like actually embracing it and working through the tension that might be there around feedback?
Yeah, I mean, it's a new behavior for many of us, even ones like, I think we all agree, we think we're better at communication than we actually might be. And so I would say, you know, changing new behaviors is not easy work. And so, you know, what I love about when we talk, this resonates with clients when we talk about cultivating awareness, not just like self-awareness of how you show up, but awareness of your power and others. And then I think cultivating that skill, you can only cultivate it if you actually practice it, teach it, you know, engage in it. And I think the difference we've been able to make, so there's two things. One is the homework or the work that we give can be practiced at home, can be practiced in any relationship, really. And so people have more hooks into opportunities to practice it in other parts of their lives. We've also, I think we show up as accountability partners more, which a lot of organizations don't have. To say, hey, remember that thing we said we were going to do? How's it going? Right? So, well, I don't know. That's for me. How about you?
Yeah, no, same. I think it's that those two pieces there, like support is important. And I think a lot of times people, you know, you have that initial support to change behavior. You get sent to that training. Here's the book to read. Here's the podcast to listen to, the YouTube videos to watch, the learning experience itself. And then there's the accountability to actually execute it and implement it. And so I think like top tier learning experiences, if we're really looking for behavior change, they have to have both. They have to have that level of support, and there has to be that accountability mechanism. And oftentimes teams don't have that built in, or they haven't systematized it. So I think that that's probably a big piece that I've noticed around feedback over the years, is that, you know, some people will inherently, they'll take it and they'll lean into it. But it's dependent on individuals to broach the hard conversations or to spark that tough conversation, as opposed to the system supporting it or the structures and the processes within a team supporting it. And so I think we work at both of those levels. We work at that individual level. You know, I can help Pablo kind of learn the material, understand it conceptually, do some practice and some skill build. But eventually you're going to run into a team that may not embrace that in the same way, or they may not have that as a way of working, and they haven't identified that and really articulated it. So I think that we can often provide that accountability to bridge that from conceptual understanding to actual implementation. And then once it's implemented, you know, we see teams just running with it, right? It becomes a part of the culture, a part of the rhythm. So I think that's probably what's missing for most of the time when we're thinking about behavior change, especially when it comes to communication and feedback, is the support and accountability, the balance of those two, probably.
Yeah, and it was interesting to see today. We did a lunch and learning in action session earlier today, and we asked the group to remember a time where they received meaningful feedback, and that seemed way easier for them to like recount those stories than to recount a time where they actually gave meaningful feedback. So even in the way they're giving feedback, they have no feedback on how well they're doing. And so to me, that just lit a little bit of a spark.
Yeah, it's interesting, because when I reflect on that question too, it's way easier for me to remember and to point to feedback that I've received that's resonated with me or it's impacted me in some way. When I think of feedback that I've given other people, I'm like, oh, I actually don't know. Like, like I might have an indication, or there might be some sort of behavior shift, or they might thank me for the feedback, or, you know, there's those pieces, but to really truly understand what the impact is of that feedback, I think that's a missing piece oftentimes. Yeah. Especially when we consider, and we had this conversation today at the session around power dynamics. And when you layer in, you know, this up and down power dynamic, you know, feedback takes on, depending on which side of that you're on, feedback is a very different experience, right? When someone in an up power position is giving you feedback versus someone who's in a down power position. And my reflection over the past few days has been that feedback that's been most meaningful and most memorable for me has been from below, like from the people I'm responsible for. And when they give me feedback, you know, it's punchy or pinchy feedback. And I've gotten lots of it over the years. That resonates and that sticks because of, I guess, the value that I hold to care deeply for the people that I'm responsible for. And so the impact that I have on them is probably more important than maybe the perception of somebody in a power position above me or adjacent to me. So I'd be curious about your feedback and or your experience with feedback and if there's anything that really stands out for you over the journey.
I can't remember if it was you or Kimberly that said, and this is probably just part of what you said, but feedback for the sake of what? Sometimes I think as leaders or even just people in our field of work, it's like the whack-a-mole but with the feedback stick where, you know, realistically, this isn't a moment for feedback, or maybe it's not even your feedback to give, or maybe this feedback isn't really impactful. It's actually more about you and you should maybe have a conversation with yourself. So that's something I've noticed. And that's an awareness piece, but I wonder when I think about, cause we hear a lot about feedback, you know, building strong cultures of feedback and how do we operationalize feedback and make people more comfortable with it. I have to wonder sometimes, is like feedback always the answer there, or should we maybe do some empathetic curiosity and deeper dive into understanding the problems first?
Well, that's such a great point. I think that feedback for me is actually like when we talk about communication, it's on the directive side. It's on the, you know, I've seen a behavior, it's having an impact. Would you be willing to like do something differently? It's a bit of, it's a request, but it's a request for some sort of action. And I find myself over the years, maybe it's a mature, like getting more mature as a leader or having kids or something, but it's like, I don't need to always be giving feedback to change a behavior. Right. Back to your point of like, who's this about? Who's this feedback for? Is this my issue? In which case I should get curious and see like, what does this actually mean to this person? Because we get into this place of getting kind of directive or demanding with our feedback. And we assume that people have to change. And if they don't take our feedback, then we get, you know, annoyed or pissed off about it. And yeah, so there's something there around I find myself way more interested in deep listening, being curious about people's experiences and what's important to them and dialogue, you know, sharing maybe my perspective or a perspective that I hold or an observation that I've made, but not trying to attach some sort of predetermined outcome to it, because that's not true dialogue. And I think that feedback, I think people try and kind of, they bunch a bunch of different activities into it and they say like, all of this is feedback. And for me, it's a pretty specific task, like task oriented, like just change a behavior because it's having a negative impact or it's getting in the way, or let's reinforce a behavior. I think that's another side to this coin is that most people, I think, when they hear feedback, we jump to the constructive, the negative, the I have to change something because, you know, this isn't working, versus, you know, positive reinforcement and saying, actually, that was great. And this is why it was great. And would you do more of that, I think, is equally important feedback. So, yeah, it's a nuanced conversation for sure.
There's a life cycle where in terms of like communication where feedback shows up. And I think sometimes we just jump to feedback. Like we've seen it a lot. Hey, maybe we should clear some of these assumptions we have before we actually even think about giving this feedback. Because once we've cleared this assumption, maybe the feedback's irrelevant because we have a better understanding of that person's needs, their values, their goals. Or maybe we actually don't need to give that feedback because we were totally misunderstanding something.
Yeah, oh, totally. Yeah, it's tricky because there's that saying that feedback is as much about the person giving it as the person receiving it. And that's true because I'm going to notice things about you that resonate with me. And if it's pinchy feedback for you, it's because it's driving me nuts in some way, right? Or it's pinching on one of my values or one of my goals, right? But that is about me. And yet we're in relationship with each other. And so you would want to know what that impact was in the same way I would want to know what that impact is. And so there's this kind of this navigating that piece, I think, on both sides. You know, why is this meaningful? Is it it's meaningful to me because of this? And that inherently drives us more towards dialogue than to giving demands or, you know, asking people to change their behavior. It, for me anyway, it sparks curiosity. Your point on assumption clearing and expectation setting, I think that's actually an unlock for a lot of leaders and teams to make feedback more meaningful, is that you shouldn't be giving feedback if you haven't clearly laid out expectations and cleared assumptions, right? Because the danger of misalignment with that feedback is just so high, right? And, you know, I can't hold someone accountable to something or try to hold them accountable with feedback if we haven't sat down and co-created the expectation together and agreed to it, right? And when you do that process, inevitably that makes feedback easier. So I see that as a gap, I think, for a lot of teams that people could work on.
We identified a bunch of things. I don't know if it's worth digging into them, but and they showed up on both sides of like giving meaningful feedback and receiving meaningful feedback. We're touching on some of this, like, you know, I think for me, the one that's stands out the most is this awareness around power. And so you did a great job explaining that today in the Lunch and Learn. So I love, do you want to explain it again for people listening now?
Yeah, no, for sure. So the question was related to a coaching relationship where you have a coach and then you have someone who's hired that coach and to help them with something, some performance or some sort of, you know, aspect of their leadership. And the question was around, you know, how do I neutralize the power dynamic, or how do I neutralize power in that so that we're interacting peer to peer? And I pushed back a little bit and said, you know, you probably don't want to do that, right? Like when you eliminate the power dynamic, you eliminate some of the potential to cause harm in that power relationship, but you also eliminate the ability to have a positive impact, because power is just the ability to affect change. And so there are relationships where we absolutely need and want the power dynamic to exist, because without it, we can't do the thing that we've been hired to do or that we want to do in the world. And I think I used an example of, you know, I went to the physio today and I want her to use her power. I want her to take her elbow and lean into my muscles and, you know, release the tension. That's what I'm paying her for. That's her role in this relationship. And if she chooses not to do that, and we just sit and chat for half an hour, it's like, well, that didn't meet my needs and it didn't meet her needs to help. And so what I think some of those relationships are missing, or some of those conversations are missing, again, is going back to that place of expectation and acknowledging that, hey, we're in roles together. I have a role. And with that role comes some responsibility and some expectations. You're in the down power side of that role, but it doesn't mean you don't have any power. You know, you still have some power. And that was the conversation today, was around, you know, that client of the coach certainly has some power, but they're actually kind of willingly, voluntarily stepping into a down power position for the help, for the feedback, for the accountability, for the things. And it's then if the coach doesn't do that, if the coach doesn't give tough feedback or hold accountable, they're actually not doing their job. They're not living up to those expectations. And so that's a conversation to navigate, I think, in those relationships, and to acknowledge that power is not a bad thing. And I think that big kind of feedback and power might both have a bad rap with certain leaders. And I know I've certainly looked at power sometimes and shied away from it and been like, oh, there's lots of abuses of power and misuses of power in the world, and I don't want a part of that. But if you step too far back, then you can't actually use it for good. So I don't know if that was kind of the same as what I said at the Lunch and Learn, but that's kind of where I stand on that topic is, you know, there's this movement, or I guess hope and desire in some places and some organizations, to really neutralize power, to distribute it, to give everybody independence and autonomy. And I think that's a great and worthy objective. And we can probably do a lot to neutralize or like eliminate some of the really gross power inequities that exist in society, for sure. I think that's a great objective. And I'm cautious around that, because that you lose that ability to have a positive impact using power as well.
It's interesting. Like, we work with some really, you know, high trust, high performing teams. And we still see, you know, with things like 360s, which ours are truly, you know, not just look at up and down power relationships, but, you know, peers, family, friends, clients. We try to run the whole gamut to make it a pure 360. But even there, even with some of the organizations we have, we still see people that are in down power struggling to give feedback. So I know some people are going to be wondering, because we've had this question come up, what are some tips or strategies that people in down power position can do to, I don't know, develop skill, maybe feel more comfortable in giving feedback?
It goes to understanding what's meaningful to the other party. And so if someone's in an up power position, I actually, you know, I had an example today of time that I spent trying to, you know, push up the chain for some change back when I was in a leadership role in the nonprofit sector. And the success that I had was when I was able to clearly understand what was motivating that person in the up power position, what was most important to them. So what do they actually care about and what are they trying to accomplish? Because if I understand their intentions, then I can hold up the mirror and say, well, here's your impact and help me understand how that's getting us closer to X, Y, or Z. Right. And so it's that reflecting impact is probably like, it's an art for sure to be able to do that. And you know, we teach the Offner model, OFNR, this observation, feeling, need, requests, really compassionate, non-judgmental approach to kind of giving people their impact or showing, reflecting back to people that here's your impact. Here's this thing you do. Here's how it makes me feel. Here's the need or the value that I care about. And would you be willing to do something different? It's a really nice framework for that. And I've seen that to be a really effective tool for people in that down power role, because it's really easy for people in up power to get defensive, to hide behind their good intentions, to be like, well, I didn't intend for that. And so I don't have to worry about it. You know, even if my impact was askew. And oftentimes, I'm sure I've been guilty of it too, is when you go up the chain, you don't have a ton of empathy for the people up the chain in the up power role. And so you might be a little spicier, might be a little punchier with your feedback. And then that kicks off a defense mechanism or a defensive cycle. And then you're in that loop where I'm trying to speak truth to power. I'm sending them off into a defensive posture. They're defensive. I think they don't want to hear it. So I either shut up or I push harder. Right. And we get into these power struggles, which is essentially what they are. And we see actually quite a bit of that in the organizations that we work with. And it's often why we end up working with organizations in the first place, is like there's a stuckness to this conflict and the feedback's not being heard or received. And so I kind of always go to Offner as for, especially for people in a down power role, because they can speak truth, be somewhat vulnerable about how they're actually, what the impact actually is, and have a clear request for change for the people in up power.
Yeah. And I'd say some of these new evolving organizational designs, like we've humanocracy, holocracy, self-organizing teams, autonomous teams, I think what they're really trying to do there is not neutralize power, but to distribute it. And so from a structural perspective, some of those rhythms are really helping to, you know, for example, to have a president who is part of the marketing team step in and say, I'm not the subject matter expert here. You know, you are. Tell me what you need from me. Mm-hmm. And I will go to the rest of the executive and I'm here to serve you. Like, I think some of those structures are really helping to make feedback, you know, for people in a down power position to actually like it actually slowly shifting that power dynamic. So I think those types of things are interesting.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, the quality of the feedback relationship between up and down power, the responsibility for that actually lies with up power. Right. They have the power and they react a certain way. And that's going to determine whether down people in down power roles are going to be comfortable, safe enough. Like, is it safe enough? Essentially is the question. How safe is it to give this feedback? And, you know, we see that anytime, like you mentioned the 360s, people look at that and they're like, well, what, like, who's going to know about this feedback? What are they going to do with it? Am I going to get fired if I speak poorly or if I give a bit critical? Right. And so how a power responds to feedback, I think, is a huge piece of building that culture. For sure.
Yeah. I think this also ties. So we talked about power. This also ties back to another core driver of ours. When we think of culture and employee experiences, you know, all roads lead to power and leadership. And so as the old adage goes, lead by example. You know, it's not something you can say we're doing feedback and then you're not actually leading and doing it that way. We even talked about it today, how, you know, we hear a lot of leaders say, well, I have an open door policy and I'm super vulnerable and people can come in and tell me whatever's on their mind. And, you know, when we actually ask them how many people have showed up at their door, it's a quick answer.
Or walk through it and given them.
To walk through it. Yeah.
I mean, I can think of for sure. I think some of the, if I have regrets in like the feedback domain, there's feedback that I didn't give to people in positions of power over the years that I held on to, or I leaked out sideways to my peers, or I came home with me and I vented to my spouse about it. You know, there is, that is one thing to say it. And then we kind of kicked off with the, like, good intentions are great, we're encouraged to do it, but actually doing it is another thing. And so, and it really, when I think of why I didn't, there's actually two reasons why. There's, you know, a couple of leaders that I can think of. One was actually, I didn't want to hurt them. I didn't want to hurt their feelings. And that. So it's a weird power dynamic to be in a down power role, but feeling responsible for the well-being and the emotional space of the people that you're reporting to. Like, so that was a weird dynamic that I had to kind of figure out how to navigate. And if I had to go back, I would do that one over for sure. I would find a way to give some of that feedback, because I think I wasn't actually that helpful as that person's employee. And then there's certainly leaders that you're like, I don't feel safe enough to give you this feedback, because like, I've seen you respond, or I've seen you react to other feedback in the system, right? And so I think that's a thing for up power too, is like, if you react a certain way here, that the news of that is going to travel very quickly through the organization, that is safe or not safe to give you feedback. And we worked with a client about a year ago that had some challenges with how leaders were receiving feedback. And it became part of the informal onboarding to the organization, is that people would get warned, you know, don't be careful around this person. Right. And that's a story. Like, that's not one you want to perpetuate. That's not helpful to team building.
I mean, this, I was part of a team at some point in my career, leadership, and I had shared feedback with the primary leader, the owner of the business, to say, I don't think this marketing idea is taking into consideration these things, right? It was around like, it was a values incongruence that I saw. I shared that. Their reaction was to email the whole company, say, we're not doing this thing anymore because Pablo says it's this thing. And I was just like, what? What is going on here? And I totally felt unsafe. I felt self-conscious, like I was at risk. Like, what's at risk here, right? And so that definitely was not what I was, not the impact I was after with my feedback.
And I imagine that the consequences of that were, you know, you
I quit.
Shifted gear, like quit. Yeah, so pretty clear. Yeah, pretty clear feedback. So takeaways for you from today or the last couple of days, as we've been mulling over feedback and as we've been launching some 360 reviews with a couple of different client groups. When you think of feedback, you know, your top two or three takeaways for anybody listening to this as they go about their day and think about some meaningful feedback they've got to either give or meet feedback that they're like wanting to get or receive from people. What's a couple of takeaways for you?
Yeah, I believe in, you shared this from Dr. Cedar Barstow from the Right Use of Power Institute. The definition, feedback is an investment in relationship. And I believe that. And so if it is, it's not something you want to jam pack because you're busy into one meeting, or something you just want to react on. If you truly care about the relationship with that other person or that group, you need to reflect. And part of that reflection includes checking your assumptions. What truths and experiences am I bringing into this? What kind of judgments am I making? Is this part of any of their, you know, growth plan? Does this meet any of their needs, values, and goals? Or is this more about me? When's the right time to bring this up? Is this even my feedback to give, or really is this somebody else's? And I am going to do a dishonor here to that relationship by stepping in, right? Those are just some of the few that come to my mind. But also, like, what I see sometimes with feedback is, have I really spent the time to understand how they like to receive feedback or how they give it, so that I can actually be proactive and ask about it? Again, investment in relationship. Design this together. You'll start to find themes with people on your team. And then that's great. When you have these collective needs, you can actually start to operationalize that and get more and more people involved and develop that skill and comfort with it. Like, that's great. But at the end of the day, like, you're going to develop deeper connection, higher levels of trust, if you can actually meet that person's needs and values when it comes to feedback. Sorry, that was a long list, but.
No, it's great. That's great. For me, I think it's that relationship with feedback and the mindset around it as the starting point. And you said, you know, investment in relationship, and signal that there's something important here, right? There's signal that I actually care about you, right? And so, or I care about something meaningful. It might not be you or this relationship, but there's something very meaningful about this for me. And, you know, having worked in addiction and mental health for a long time, I would get feedback just like nonstop fire hose of feedback, not often framed as, hey, Jeff, I would appreciate if you did this, you know, often framed in a punchier fashion or just behavioral, right? And I think that that's probably a piece for me, a takeaway for me around feedback, is that we often think it has to be that closed door, sit down once a quarter, once a year, sit down, we do performance feedback. And the reality is that you're getting feedback, I'm getting feedback nonstop all the time. in relationship, we're getting signals of engagement or disconnection, engagement, disengagement, safety, lack of safety, right? And so I think that seeing behavior as feedback, right, and being more tuned into that has been important for me over the years, to notice when somebody doesn't speak up in a meeting, to notice when somebody actually skips a couple of meetings because of something, or they don't turn the camera on in a Zoom call, or, you know, all of these things are signals that there's something important going on, and to be more curious about it. So that, again, it leads us back to that deep listening, being more curious.
Leaderful is brought to you by The Ally Co, a team of human-centered, systems-conscious consultants, coaches, and facilitators dedicated to helping you and your team tackle the core problems of burnout and stuckness and misalignment and misuses of power and all of the things that get in the way of creating truly human-centered workplaces where everyone thrives and does their best work. Head over to www.theallyco.world to learn more.